శిష్య ప్రజావతుల ఇతరి కిరిమే పురుద్ధ దిరిగన్వీమ సందహ 2017 జనవరి 8వ దిన సమ దర్వేక్టమ సందహ సందహమ ఇతరి కిరిమే గినుమ ఆయతనిక హా సామాజ్య వగకీమ CSR లెస సాలక వివృత కర దేశ సియలుమ ఇతరి కిరిమ బ్యాంకు వాణిజ్య బ్యాంకు వెతిన్ మా ఇల్లా సిటినవా మేకట ఏగును ఏకనతావ ప్రకాశ కల తిబెనవా గరు కథానాయకతుమని అప రాజ్యే అపగే దరువంట ఉసస్ జీవన తత్వ్యాక్ సహతిక కిరీమట కెపవు రాజయాక్ ఏ అను అవురుదు పహే సిట 19 దక్వా వయస్ కండాయమ పశువన మిలియన్ 4.5 పాసల్ దరువన్ సదా సేమ దరువకిటం రూపాయల లక్ష 2 వటిన రక్షణ ఆవరణ్యాక్ లబ రక్షణ క్రమయాక్ హందునా దీమట అప కటయుతు కర్ణవా మేయ మేక విప్లీయ ఆరంభ్యాక్ లెస సలకనవా మిమ్మ రక్షణ ఆవరణ మగిన్ బాహిర నేవాసిక ప్రతికార ఆవరణ కన్న అతర బాహిర ప్రతికార సదా రూపాయల 10,000 కో రోహల్ గత వీమే రూపాయల లక్ష 1 యటత్వ ఆవరణ సలసును అత రక్షణ వారికీయ రజే విసిన్ దర్ను ఎతి అతర మే సదా రూపాయల్ మిలియన్ 2,700 వెన్ కిరీమట మంగ్ యోజన కన్న ఎక పౌలుక లమాయి దెన్నె తుందన కిటియోత్ లక్ష 2 ఎక పౌలుక లెబెండ పులం విద్యత అపి ఎతి కల తీయన మేక తమై యహపాలిన తిన్న వటినాకమ లెస మం మే అవసి మతక్ కరన్న కెమతి గరు కథానాయకతుమని 2016 హా ససందన విట 2017 వర్షేది అధ్యాపన సందా వెన్కల ముదల్ అడు బవట బహో సంవాద హా వివేచన తిబెన బవ మా దాన్నవా అధ్యాపన క్షేత్రే తవ దురట ఆయోజన అవశ్య వూహోత్ ఎమ అవశ్యతావ ఎమ వార్ష్య తులిన్మ వెన్ కిరిమట మమ మే గరు సభావట నిర్దేశ కర్ణవా ఉషాస్ అధ్యాపనే గరు కథానాయకతుమని వార్ష్య 1995 నమదాస్ 245 ఊ విశ్వవిద్యాలయ విద్యాబలట అతులత్ కరగత్ శిష్య సంఖ్యవ 2015 వార్ష్య వన విట 26,000 దక్వా వెడి వీ తిబెనవా మే తవ వెడి కరణత్ అపి బలాపృతిన్ సిటినవా ఎహేత్ శ్రీలంక విశ్వవిద్యాలయ శిశున్ అతులత్ కిరీమద దళ అనుపాతయక్ అనికుత్ సమాన రట్వల్ హా ససదీమేది 10,000 వడా అడు అగయాక్ గన్నవా గరు కథానాయకతుమని గరు అగ్రమాత్యతుమా మేతకది మిమ సభా వెత ఇదిరిపత్ కన్నలద అపగే ఆర్థిక పిరిమంద ఇదిరి దక్మ సంధాన ఆకారట అపగే ఇలక్య వన్నే అధ్యాపన సహ కుశలతా సంబంధిన అవస్థ వెడి కరులీమై 2015 వర్షే 26,000 విశ్వవిద్యాలయ అతులత్ అనికుత్ ఉసస్ అధ్యాపన ఆయతన సందహా అతులత్ కరుగను లబన శిశున్ సంఖ్య దిగుణ కరమిన్ 2020 శిశున్ 50,000 వెడి కిరీమట అపి బలాపృతి వెనవా గరు కథానాయకతుమని అపగే అధ్యాపన క్రమే హా శ్రమ వెలంద పొల అతర నిసి సంబంధతావ్యాక్ నుమతి బవ పసుగే దినవలది అపి విసిన్ శ్రమ వెలంద పొల సమగ కరణ లద సాకచ్చావలి హెలివునా శ్రమ వెలంద పొల తుల విశేషమైన మూల్య తొరతురు తాక్షణే బ్యాంకు సంచారక క్షేత్ర వెన వివిధ అంశవల్ట వ్యాపృతి సందహా వెడి ఇల్లుమక్ తిబెనవా అప్పగే ప్రతి సంస్కరణే ఇలక్య వన్నే మూలిక రటే అనాగత పరపుర వెన తరుణ తరుణియంట రకియా వెలంద పొలట ఎతుల్వీమ సందహా అవశ్య కుశలతావన్ ఇహరినన్ వీమ హా రకియా వెలంద పొల తుల దనటమత్ పవతిన కుశలతా నవమగకట యుము కరణ కరమిన్ ఇహల నన్వీమై బ్యాంకు కరణే అవధానం కల్పనా కరణే వ్యాపారిక సంఖ్యా వ్యావహారిక సంఖ్యాతనే సమసౌఖ్య విద్యావ రోబ విద్య యాంత్ర సహ జీవింగే సన్వేదన స్వయం క్రియ పాలనే క్రమ పిలిమంద విద్యావ సైబర్నెటిక్ సత్కార కల్పనా కరణే వెని విషయాన్ ఎతులత్ కొట ఉపాధి విషయ ధారావన్ వివిధ్యాంగీకరణ కిరీమ సందహా దనడ తిబిన కళా ఉపాధి విషయ తారావట గణిత సంఖ్య సంఖ్యానే హా తొరుతురు తాక్షణమైన విషయాన్ని హందున్నా దీమట కటుతు కన్నా మే వెన్వెన్ దేశనశాల విద్యాగార హాస్టల్ సహా అనికుత్ ఆశ్రిత జటితాల పాసుగా మరణ కిరీమ సహా రూపాయల మిలియన్ 13,000 ముదాల్ దనటత్ వెన్ కర తిబెనవా గరు కథానాయకతుమని రోహును విశ్వవిద్యాలయ వైద్య పీఠే పందవ గత హ్యాకి శిశున్ సంఖ్య 168 300 దక్వా వెరి కరలీమట హ్యాకివన పరిధి మహల్ 10కిన్ యుతు గొలనగిల కరాపిటియ వైద్య పీఠే తుల ఇది కిరీమట కటయుతు కరణవా 2017 వర్షేది మే సందా రూపాయల మిలియన్ 500 ముదల్ వెన్ కిరీమట మా యోజన కరణవా ఎమెన్ శ్రీ దైవదినపుర కేరళీయ రుహును యాపనిహ పేరదిని అన విశ్వవిద్యాలయ అధ్యాపన వేది ఉపాధి పాఠమాల ఆరంభ కిరీమట కటయుతు కరణవా ගරු කතානායකතුමනි, අපගේ උපාධි අපේක්ෂයන් ලෝකයේ අති දක්ෂයන් සමග තරඟ කිරීමට හැකියාවන් පවතිනවා. මේ සම්බන්ධ එක්සත් රාජධානිය පවත්වා ලබන 2016 ෆෝමියුලා ශිෂ්‍ය තරඟයට ෆෝමියුලා ස්ටූඩන්ට් යුකේ 216 සහභාගී වී පළමු පන්තියේ හොඳම නාවක ෆෝමියුලා නවකයා ෆෝමියුලා ශිෂ්‍ය ප්‍රදානය කැපවීම සහ හොඳම තනි රියදුරු ලෙස විරුද්ධාවලියෙන් මොරටුවේ විශ්වවිද්‍යාලයේ ෂාක් ග්‍රේසින් කණ්ඩායමට අපගේ ප්‍රශංසාව හිමි වෙනවා. එම කණ්ඩායම අද දින මෙම මේ සභාවට පැමිණෙන ලෙස මා ආරාධනා කර තිබෙනවා. එවැනි විවිධ වැඩසටහන් සඳහා අපගේ විශ්වවිද්‍යාලයේ සිසුන් සහභාගී වී දක්ෂතා පෙන්වන බව මා දන්නවා. සිසුන්ට දක්ෂතා දියුණු කර ගැනීමට පෞද්ගලික අංශයේද එවැනි තරඟ සඳහා කරුණු ලබන දායකත්වය මං අගය කරනවා. ගරු කතානායකතුමනි, ඒ ආකාරයට අපගේ දක්ෂතා හා දීප්තිමත් ශිෂ්‍යයන් කුසලතා වර්ධනය වෙනුවෙන් විශ්වවිද්‍යාලයේ 17ක් ඉංජිනේරු, වෛද්‍ය, ජීව විද්‍යාව, භෞතික විද්‍යාව වගේ සහ නීතිය පීඨවලින් බිහිවන හොඳම ශිෂ්‍යයන් තිදෙනෙක්ට හාවර්ඩ්, MIT, ඔක්ස්ෆර්ඩ්, කේම්බ්‍රිජ් සහ සිංගප්පූරුවේ ජාතික විශ්වවිද්‍යාල NUS වැනි ලොව උසස්ම විශ්වවිද්‍යාලට ආචාර්ය උපාධි දක්වා පාඨමාලා හැඳින්වීමට හැකිවනසේ ශිෂ්‍යත්ව ක්‍රමයක් ස්ථාපිත කිරීමට මම යෝජනා කරනවා. ශිෂ්‍යයින් ඉල්ලුම් කරන්නේ නම් එම ශිෂ්‍යයන් ශිෂ්‍යත්ව යෝජනා ක්‍රමය දේශීය විශ්වවිද්‍යාලට පාශ්චාත් උපාධි පාඨමාලාව හැදෑරීමට දක්වා දී යොදාගත හැකි වෙනවා. මේ සඳහා රුපියල් මිලියන 500ක් වෙන් කිරීමට යෝජනා කරනවා. විශ්වවිද්‍යාල ශිෂ්‍යයන්ට ක්‍රීඩා, කලා, කටයුතු වැනි විෂය බාහිර ක්‍රියාකාරීවල නියැලීමට උනන්දු කරලීම සඳහා රුපියල් මිලියන 100ක් මුදලක් වෙන් කිරීමට මා යෝජනා කරනවා. ජාතික වෘත්තීය සමිති පෙරමුණ සමග මා කරන ලද සාකච්ඡාව යෝජනා වූයේ විශ්වවිද්‍යාලවල දේශන පැවැත්වීම කාලය රාත්‍රී 8 දක්වා දීර්ඝ කරන ලෙසටයි. මෙමගින් විශ්වවිද්‍යාලය ඇතුළත් කරගත හැකි ශිෂ්‍යයන් සංඛ්‍යාව වැඩි කිරීමට මෙන්ම සම්පත් උපරිම ලෙස භාවිත කිරීමට හේතු වෙන බව මම විශ්වාස කරනවා. විශ්වවිද්‍යාලයේ අධ්‍යාපනය හා පරිපාලනංශය සඳහා ශික්ෂණ ශාස්ත්‍රයේ ඇතුළත් කාර්ය මණ්ඩලයේ සංවර්ධන වැඩසටහන ආරම්භ කිරීමේදී මා යෝජනා කරන අතර ඒ සඳහා විදේශ විශ්වවිද්‍යාල සමග ඒකාබද්ධ සහභාගිත්වයේ සම්බන්ධ වර්ධනය කර ගැනීම ධෛර්යාත්මකව කරනවා. ගරු කතානායකතුමනි, මා ඉහතින් සඳහන් කළ පරිදි 2015 වර්ෂයේ හා සසදන විට 2020 වර්ෂය වන විට රජයේ විශ්වවිද්‍යාල හා අනිකුත් උසස් අධ්‍යාපන ආයතන සඳහා වඳවා ගනු ලබන ශිෂ්‍ය සංඛ්‍යාව 100%කින් වැඩි කරන දෙගුණයක් කිරීමට අප කටයුතු කරනවා. ඒ අනුව විශ්වවිද්‍යාලයට ඇතුළත් කර ගන්නා සිසුන් සංඛ්‍යාව 50,000 දක්වා පමණක් වැඩි වනු ඇත. සංඛ්‍යාව දත්තානුව හෙළිවන්නේ 150,000-200,000 අතර වන ශිෂ්‍ය ප්‍රජාවගෙන් 35,000කට ආසන්න සිසුන් ප්‍රමාණයක් විවෘත විශ්වවිද්‍යාලය, විදේශ විශ්වවිද්‍යාල හෝ රජයේ නොවන පෞද්ගලික උසස් අධ්‍යාපන ආයතන උසස් අධ්‍යාපන පාසුවන් ලබන බවයි. කෙසේ නමුත් අප දැනුම් කේන්ද්‍රස්ථානයක් වීම උපයා මාර්ගයන් ක්‍රියාත්මක කිරීම කෙරෙහි දැඩි උනන්දුතාවක් දක්වන රජයක් ලෙස තරුණ තරුණියන්ට උසස් අධ්‍යාපන පාසුකම් ලබා ගැනීමට තිබෙන අවස්ථාව වැඩි කළ යුතුය. මේ සඳහා කඩිනම් ක්‍රියාමාර්ග ගත යුතු වෙනවා. අප බලයට පැමිණු පසු අධ්‍යාපන සඳහා සැලකිය යුතු අයුරින් අරමුදල් වැඩි කර තිබෙනවා. නමුත් විශ්වවිද්‍යාලයේ උසස් අධ්‍යාපන පාසුකම් ඇති කර දීමට නම් අපේ ප්‍රායෝගික විය යුතුයි. රාජ්‍යයට පමණක් මෙම අභියෝගය ජයගත් නොහැකි. පෞද්ගලික අංශයද ඒ සඳහා දායකත්වය විය යුතුයි. එබැවින් රජයේ නොවන උපාධි පිරිනමන ආයතන රට තුළට ඇති කිරීමට අවශ්‍ය පහසුකම් සැලසිය යුතු වෙනවා. වග කිව යුතු රජයක් වශයෙන් අවස්ථාවාදී දේශපාලන මතවාදී මුල් කරගෙන පෝස්ටර් රැගෙන හැසිරෙන කණ්ඩායම් වලට රටේ සංවර්ධන නැවැත්වීමට ඉඩද ලබා දිය නොහැක. ඒ සමගම අධ්‍යාපනයේ ගුණාත්මකභාවයේ උපරිම මට්ටමින් පවත්වා ගැනීමද ඉතා වැදගත්. ඒ සඳහා ජාතික මට්ටමේ ස්වාධීන තත්ත්වය සහතික කිරීම හා ප්‍රමිතිකරණය මණ්ඩලයක් ඇති කිරීමට අවශ්‍ය නීති සම්පාදනය කිරීම මේ කිරීමට මා යෝජනා කරනවා. ගරු කතානායකතුමනි, ඉතා සුළු ලකුණු ප්‍රමාණයක් අහිමි වීම හේතුවෙන් විශ්වවිද්‍යාල අධ්‍යාපන මගහැරුණු ශිෂ්‍යයන් ගණනාවක් සිටින බව ඔබතුමා එකඟ වනු ඇත. ඔවුන්ට නොසලකා හැරීමට අපගේ හැකියාවක් නැහැ. එම නිසා ඔවුන් වෙනුවෙන් ණය යෝජනා ක්‍රමයක් ආරම්භ කරනවා. මේ යටතේ විශ්වවිද්‍යාල ප්‍රතිපාදන කොමිසම විසින් අනුමත කරන ලද රාජ්‍ය නුවණ උපාධි පිරිනමන ආයතන වලින් වෙළඳපොළ ඉල්ලුම සපුරලීමට ඉහළවන්න විශේෂ විෂයන් හැදෑරීම සඳහා ඉසෙත් ලකුණු මත පදනම්ව සිසුන් 15,000ක් සඳහා එක් සිසුවෙක්ට පාඨමාල ගාස්තුවෙන් රුපියල් ලක්ෂ 8ක් දක්වා වූ ණය මුදලක් ලබා දීමට යෝජනා කරන අතර මේ වැඩසටහන කිරීමට හැකිවනසේ 2017 වර්ෂයේ සඳහා රුපියල් මිලියන් 300ක් මුදලකින් වෙන් කිරීමට මා යෝජනා කරනවා. ගරු කතානායකතුමනි, විශේෂයෙන්ම ග්‍රාමීය පාසල්වල විද්‍යාව, ගණිතය, තාක්ෂණය සහ ඉංග්‍රීසි වැනි විෂයන්ට ඉහළම දක්ෂතා ඇති ගුරුවරුන් හිඟය පිරවීම කටයුතු කළ යුතුව තිබෙනවා. ඒ සඳහා විශ්වවිද්‍යාල ප්‍රතිපාදන කොමිසම මගින් අනුමත කරන ලද රාජ්‍ය නුවණ විද්‍යාත්මකවල ගණිතය, විද්‍යාව, තාක්ෂණය හා ඉංග්‍රීසි යන විෂයන්ට අදාළව අධ්‍යාපනයේදී උපාධි පාඨමාලාව හැදෑරීමට සිසුන් රුපියල් 500,000ක සිට රුපියල් 100ක පොලි සහන 100% පොලි සහන ණය යෝජනා ක්‍රමයක් ඇති කිරීමට මම යෝජනා කරනවා. ඒ සඳහා සහභාගී වන සිසුන් ග්‍රාමීය පාසල්වල අවම වශයෙන් වසර 3ක් සේවය කළ යුතුයි. ඔවුන් වසර 3ක් සම්පූර්ණ වීමට පෙර එම පාසල් ඉවත් වෙනවා නම් එසේ ඉවත් වන අවස්ථාවේදී අදාළ ණය මුදල සම්පූර්ණයෙන් ආපසු ගෙවීමට ඔවුන්ට සිදු වනු ඇත. මෙම ණය යෝජනා ක්‍රමය මගින් ශිෂ්‍යයන් 5,000කට ණය ලබා දීම සඳහා අපගේ මූලික ඉලක්කය වන අතර ඒ සඳහා රුපියල් මිලියන් 100ක් දක්වා වෙන් කිරීමට මං යෝජනා කරනවා. ශ්‍රී ලංකාවේ අධ්‍යාපන ක්ෂේත්‍රයේ තුල ප්‍රජා විද්‍යාල කමියුනිටි කොලෙජස් ඇති කිරීම හැකියාව අධ්‍යාපන උසස් අධ්‍යාපන වෘත්තිය ආද අධ්‍යාපන බලධාරීන්ට සොයා බලන ලෙස මං ආරාධනා කරනවා. Honorable Speaker, given the country is keen to position itself as an educational hub, I propose to issue 5-year multiple entry visas for 2017 to international students who wish to study in Sri Lanka, and such endeavours will promote educational tourism. You will no doubt agree, Honorable Speaker, that our state university education has been marred with issue of ragging and student violence. I therefore propose to establish Centre of Gender Equality Equality and Preventing Sexual and Gender-Based Violence and Ragging, for which I propose allocate 10 million. Honourable Speaker, you would have noticed, as has the House, that we have spent an inordinate amount of funds on our university education. I suggest that such each student be given a cost sheet at the point of entrance so that they are conscious of the funds allocated for their education from the taxes collected from the common man in the country. This doesn't anyway do away with the free education. It's only a cost reflection so that they know that this amount is spent. It's, for example, when it's the agriculture sector, one graduate spends up to almost 2.5 million of taxpayers' money. So it should be borne by, it should be known by the student. Skills development. Honourable Speaker, during my consultations with various industrialists, I have informed that tourism industry requires almost 100,000 trained workers. Textile industry requires about 60,000, and the construction industry approximately 400,000. Similarly, indications have been made by the cinema industry, so much that the separate training institute was proposed in the last budget. With the proposed free trade zones, the demand for skilled labour will be on the rise. Clearly, the skill gap is a serious issue and must be addressed immediately. Therefore, Honourable Speaker, I propose to introduce a significant shift in policy framework in vocational training by providing scholarship to anyone who wishes to follow vocational training program at the state-operated vocational training institution. This will enable vocational training in Sri Lanka for all at no cost. I propose to allocate 300 million to meet the cost of scholarship to provide under this program. I encourage the vocational training institutions to expand the curricula to include courses at NVQ level on gemology, lapidary, jewellery design, cutting and polishing, precious stones, batik, bamboo crafts, and meet the needs of the market and industry. At the same time, given the urgent requirement of skilled labour in apparel, healthcare, hospitality and construction industries, I invite the private sector to provide training for 10,000 youth who at the end of the training period will be recruited to the relevant industry. To assist the private sector, the government will provide us the stipend of each trainee amounting to 10,000 per month for 3 months, for which I propose to allocate 300 million rupees. I also propose to allocate 200 million for the upliftment of Matra German Training Technical School and the Hotel Training School. Honourable Speaker, given that 1 in 4 households in the country own a computer, I believe that information technology could be utilised to take training courses to the doorstep. As such, I propose to establish an e-learning resource centre at the University of Kalania, for which I allocate 250 million over a period of 2 years, where I propose to allocate 125 million in year 2017. Health. Honourable Speaker, at the outset, it is itself, let me commend the health service personnel for their service to the country, admittedly under resource constraints, which has resulted in the country being able to perform well, sometimes even on par with high-income countries in achieving key health indicators. The fact that we have been able to obtain the WHO certification for elimination of filaria and malaria, a testament to the professionalism and the dedication that the health service personnel in particular have displayed over the last so many years. And I think I must commend the former health minister, the present president and the present minister of health for the yeoman service which has been established, that it is a well-recognized thing even by the WHO in the recent past. Let me also note that the National Medicines Regulatory Authority Act was introduced by our government last year as promised at the elections to ensure the availability of medical drugs and devices at affordable prices. This has now enabled us to decrease the cost of 48 drugs by around 40%. At the same time, I must note that the limiting VAT to only a limited number of services in the health sector realized a loss of revenue of almost 17,000 million. This, Honourable Speaker, showcases the fact that we are a responsible government at work. We are not a government that will unduly burden on our people. This is certainly proof that we are a government that walks the walk and talks the talk. As I speak, many in our country suffer from CKD. This has developed not only as a health issue but also an unfortunate social issue as well. Honourable Speaker, we have already allocated 2,225 million to the Ministry of Health to address the issues on CKD. I propose to allocate a further 750 million in year 2017. Honourable Speaker, we provided allocations of around 23,147 million in 2016 for improvement of the physical infrastructure facilities in hospitals such as outpatient wards, accident wards, operating theatres, laboratories, complexes and equipment. We will continue to invest in our health sector infrastructure in 2017, for which we have already allocated almost 25,000 million. We have already provided 1,000 million for the strengthening of patient care services by establishing a clinical waste management system in selected provincial schools. I also propose to allocate 200 million for upgrading of the nurses' training school. Honourable Speaker, we must have a healthy and robust young generation. I understand the NCDs are on the rise, not only amongst adults but also among the children as well, with diabetes, cancer, asthma being main NCDs. Most of the NCDs can be prevented, cured or controlled if diagnosed at the right time. As such, I request the health authorities to formulate a mechanism to ensure that every primary school in the country will have a visit from the health authorities every school term. I propose to allocate 50 million for this purpose, and anything more that is required will also be granted without any hesitation. I propose to allocate 100 million to the National Science Foundation to facilitate research mainly in the CKDU and other NCDs in the country. Sri Lanka has only 2 specialized children hospitals in the country, the Lady Ridgeway Hospital in Colombo and the Sirimau Bandaranaike Children's Hospital in Kandy. I know that 9.9 per 1,000 children die each year before celebrating their 5th birthday. Under the 5 child mortality rate as per Millennium Development Goal was 4 to 1,000. The Sustainable Development Goal is to bring the under 5 child mortality rate to 0. Honourable Speaker, given our commitment to achieve SDGs, I propose to allocate 1,000 million to establish specialized pediatric care complexes in Karapitiya, Ampare and the Jaffna hospitals. I also propose to establish a base hospital in Ninnathavu, for which I propose to allocate 200 million, and an oral health complex at the teaching hospital in Karapitiya, for which I propose 50 million. We will upgrade the Castle Street Maternity Hospital with the state-of-art facilities in 2017 on a PPP model at a cost of 3,000 million. This will further strengthen free health in our country. Honourable Speaker, I propose to allocate 500 million to establish a bone marrow transplant unit attached to the Kennedy Hospital to address the thalassemia, lymphoma, leukemia and other such diseases. There are a large number of unregistered pharmacies in the country and significant number of unqualified pharmacists as well. This is a trend that must be arrested immediately. As such, I propose all pharmacists be registered with National Medicines Regulatory Authority immediately, and all those who fail to adhere will be imposed a penalty of 100,000 rupees. Honourable Speaker, I propose to allocate 250 million to strengthen the Postgraduate Institute of Ayurvedic Medicine, focusing especially on the research development aspect in the Ayurveda medicine. Honourable Speaker, we are committed to ensuring a good quality free health care delivery system in the country. Although we have poured in funds on a continuous basis in the sector, I doubt if the general public is aware of the cost incurred. I therefore suggest that all state-operated hospitals issue a cost sheet to each patient on their discharge, indicating the amount incurred on their behalf by the state for his or her health care. This in no way does away with the free health system. It only fortifies it. It's a better quality service at a more targeted rate. Is that what we want to do? Sir, ease of doing business in Sri Lanka. Honourable Speaker, our government is committed to creating an enabling environment for business to operate and do business with a minimum of red tape. Let me put this in the context where we rank 110 in doing business 2015. There are at least 8 processes that business must follow before registering in the country. This is the above average among peer countries. Our aim is to shorten this to 5 processes by year 2019. That together with several other measures will enable us to improve our ranking to be within the top 70 nations by 2018. As such, I propose to have the register of companies open operations on all 7 days of the week, barring public holidays, and strengthen the Inland Revenue Department and Labour Department related activities so that time taken to start up business could be reduced to 4 days from its present 10 days. I propose to introduce necessary laws to establish the Office of the National Business Registry, where all businesses will be required to register. We will take action to appoint a national trade prosecutor who will be entrusted with the task of ensuring the trade and commercial agreements that the country will be enacted properly. I propose to allocate 50 million for the establishment of National Business Registry and the Office of the Trade Prosecutor. We will be introducing amendments to the Secured Transaction Act, which will enhance the SMEs' access to credit. Honourable Speaker, a clear land policy is important in attracting investment. As such, I propose to introduce laws which give public limited companies freehold right of land. I also propose that the private companies with a majority of foreign holdings be allowed to lease land on long-term basis. However, if such companies would have invested at least 250 million, excluding the value of land, providing employment to at least 150 people, and have maintained the status quo for at least 3 years. If the conditions are not fulfilled, after 3 years, 100% of the lease will have to be paid upfront. Such lease payments will be based on market value of the land as determined by the government valuer. Honourable Speaker, although we are at a strong regulatory mechanism and finance sector, we also believe that it's not unfairly inhibit the capacity to engage in economic activities. As such, I recommend that the Credit Information Bureau, CRIB, not to provide credit history of those creditors with a cumulative original loan size up to 500,000. The laws relating to insolvency and bankruptcy in the country needs to be amendments to the line with modern-day practices, and hence we will take to bring suitable effective laws. So anybody who is affected today through the CRIB will be lifted up to 500,000 so that they can be able to start activities with immediate effect. During my consultation, many traders expressed the desire to have their shops open at least till 11 p.m., which I also encourage, given the private bus owners, operators have agreed to support this operating buses up to 11 p.m. Exchange Control Act will be repealed and the Foreign Exchange Act will be introduced to protect foreign reserves from irregular transactions. Empowered and well-paid labour force. Honourable Speaker, one-third of our workforce is engaged in the formal sector and the balance two-thirds are engaged in the informal sector. The formal sector is highly protected with the labour laws that do not provide for flexible working hours, part-time work or any variation from 45-hour week, 5 hours day a week. Conversely, the majority in the labour force is engaged in the informal sector with no protection from labour laws. In essence, the majority of our labour force do not benefit from the stringent and archaic labour laws in the country. I also note that the existing labour laws present us with the challenge of meeting the demands of the service sector, which accounts for almost 60% of GDP and estimated to record the fastest growth in the next few years, with tourism and IT industry being the key growth driver. In the modern service industry, given our competitive advantage, we are best placed to attract knowledge processing outsourcing, legal process outsourcing and the business processing outsourcing industry into the country. However, the KPOs, the LPOs and the BPO industry requires flexible labour working hours, including working at night, part-time work and work from home. Already the wages of IT and the tourist sectors are quite high, and given the potential growth prospects, the wages will only see an upward trajectory. We must acknowledge that the development of technology, the employment opportunity to have changed drastically. However, to unleash the significant potential and the technology affords us, especially in the service industry, revisions to the labour laws are necessary. Such revisions, let me assure you, will not compromise the security of the jobs, but will instead ensure the creation of well-paid jobs, which we must make available, especially to our young men and women. I am encouraged by the response of Jatika Vurthiya Samiti Peramuna in recommending changes for a rapid development of labour laws, given both the employee and employer. Agree to flexible hours with 45 hours and 5-day week for private sector and a 40-hour week for government sector. Contract employment will be extended to 1 year from 6 months and wages based on performance. I also propose to restrict the manpower services to engage only in security, janitorial, canteen and transport activities. Honourable Speaker, given there are discrepancies between the various databases maintained by Employee Provident Fund, Employees Trust Fund and the Labour Department, we will initiate a process to streamline all these databases together with the proposed Central Pension Fund. Suluha Madhyama Parimani Vyavasaka. Atrike Siyata Panhak Pamana Dayakatve Darana Sulusa Madhya Parimani Vyavasakin Artika Sanvardine Pradana Sadakyak Debeneva. Sampradaika Sankalpi Mata Surakum Mata Pamanak Nayalabadima Banku Visin Tavamat Katutu Kirima Saha Vyapara Salsum Mata Mulya Sampadana Kirimata Idiripat Novima Hatewin, Mulia Pascom Beta Provesha Vima, Sima Saita Vima Hatewin, Sulusa, Madhya Parimana, Via Parika, Puru Kirima, Havardania, Dadilas Sima Vitibino, Emanisa Surakum, Nomati Vima, Gatuluata, Visuduma Klesa, Saha Sulusa, Madhya Parimani, Via Sayavalta, Mulia Pascom Sanda, Ati Provesha and Pahasu Kirima Sandaha. Appa visin danatamat suluha madhyama parimana vyapara naya surukum kramekin aramba karunu yati atara ehi mulya pragnan lesa rupiya million 500 wen kirimata ma yojana karanawa mema yojana kramaya saarthakatwaya mata aasenu sanvadra bankwe american dollar million 100 sapayamin rajaye skapawimata sahaya wenawa meeta amatarawa bankwalta ounge naya kalam Kalambin Siyata Dahayak Suluha Madhyama Parimani Vyapara Shetre Sanda Venkirimata Banku Yomukaranava. Visheshenma Krushikarme Divara Karmante Pasu Sampat Malvagava Givatu Vagava Luhu Engineer Mudran Sanchar Vyapara
අත්කම් හා ඇඟලුම් වැනි ක්ෂේත්‍රවල නියුතු සිළු හා මධ්‍යම පරිමාණ ව්‍යවසායකයින් වෙනුවෙන් ඒ ඒ ව්‍යාපාරයේ වෙළඳ පිරිවැටුම සහ නිෂ්පාදනය කරනු ලබන රැකියා ප්‍රමාණය මත පදනම් සහන්දායි ණය යෝජනා ක්‍රම ලබා දීම මගින් පහසුකම් සැලසීමට අපි කටයුතු කරනවා. වෙළඳ පිරිවැටුම රුපියල් මිලියන් 25 සිට රුපියල් මිලියන් 250 දක්වා අතර සහ සේවක සංඛ්‍යාව 10ත් 50ත් අතර වන ව්‍යවසායකින් වෙනුවෙන් 150ක සහනාදායි පෝලි අනුපාතයක් මත ණය ලබා දෙන ඇත. වෙළඳ පිරිවැටුම මිලියන් 250ක සිට රුපියල් මිලියන් 750ක අතර වන අවම වශයෙන් රැකියා අවස්ථා 50ක් 300 අතර ප්‍රමාණයක් උත්පාදනය කරනු ලබන ව්‍යවසායකින් වෙනුවෙන් 125ක පොලිස් සහනයක් මත ණය ලබා දීම සඳහා කටයුතු කරනවා. මේ වෙනුවෙන් රුපියල් මිලියන 750ක් වෙන් කිරීමට මා යෝජනා කරනවා. කලකට ඉහතදී ඉතාමත් සමෘද්ධිමත් පැවති රෙදිපිරි හා අත්‍යන්ත්‍ර කර්මාන්තය නැවත ජීවය ලබා දීමට දැඩි අවශ්‍යතාවෙන් අපට තිබෙනවා. මෙම නිෂ්පාදනය සඳහා සැලකිය යුතු මට්ටමේ දේශීය වෙළඳ පොලක් පවත්වන අතර මේ මගින් සැලකිය යුතු රැකිය අවස්ථා ගණනක් ද ඇති කරනු ලැබේ. ඒ අනුව මේ සඳහා කර්මාන්ත සංවර්ධනය මණ්ඩලය හරහා අවශ්‍ය යටිතල පහසුකම් සැපීමට සහ පුහුණුව ලබා දීමට මම නිර්දේශ කරනවා. එසේම සුළු පරිමාණ කර්මාන්ත ප්‍රවර්ධනය සඳහා තම දැනුම වර්ධනය කර ගැනීමට අවශ්‍ය කර්මාන්තකරුවන් වෙත එම සහයෝග ලබා දීමට කටයුතු කරන මෙන් කාර්මික සංවර්ධන මණ්ඩලයෙන් මා ඉල්ලා සිටිනවා. මෙම කාර්ය සඳහා රුපියල් මිලියන් 500ක් මුදලක් වෙන් කිරීමට මා යෝජනා කරනවා. දේශීය කලාකරුවන්ගේ නිෂ්පාදනය ප්‍රදර්ශන කිරීමද ලක්සල විසින් ඉතා වැදගත් කාර්යභාරයක් ඉටු කිරීමට ප්‍රමුඛ ස්ථානයක් ගත යුතුයි. ඒ සඳහා යුතුයි සඳහන් කරනවා. වර්තමානයේදී මේ දේශීය කලාකරුවන් දැඩි මූල්‍ය ගැටලුවේ මුහුණ පා සිටිනවා. මෙම කර්මාන්තයේ සැලකිය යුතු පිරිසක් සේව නියුක්තිය සිටින බැවින් ලක්සල විසින් ඔවුන් වෙත ගෙවිය යුතු හිඟ මුදලක් මාසය කාලයක් තුළ ගෙවා නිදහස් කරන ලෙස මා මේ අවස්ථාවේ ඉල්ලා දක්වනවා. කොළඹ නගරයේ විශේෂිත අත්කම් අලෙවි මධ්‍යස්ථාන රජයේ පෞද්ගලික හා දේශීය සහයෝගිතාවය PPP පදනමින් ස්ථාපිත කිරීමට යෝජනා කරන අතර එමගින් සුළු සහ මධ්‍ය පරිමාණයේ ව්‍යවසායකයන්ට සහ තොග වෙළඳාම විශේෂයෙන්ම අත්කම් රෙදිපිදි හා පාවහන් කර්මාන්තය නියැලීමට ඉඩ ප්‍රස්ථා සලසා දෙනවා. 2017 වසරේ රුපියල් මිලියන් 100ක් වෙන් කිරීමට මං යෝජනා කරනවා. ඍජු සහ වක්‍ර රැකියා අවස්ථා 375,000ක් පමණ සපයනු ලබන උඩු හා පිගන් ගඩොල් කර්මාන්තය සඳහා අවශ්‍ය ප්‍රධාන දේශීය අමුද්‍රව්‍ය වන මැටි ලබා ගැනීමට පිළිබඳව ප්‍රබල ගැටලුවක් පවතිනවා. එකිනෙකාට පරස්පර රෙගුලාසි පැවැත්වීම මෙයට මූලික හේතුවයි. මෙම ගැටලුව විසඳීම සඳහා අතිගරු ජනාධිපති විසින් යෝජනා කරන ලද පරිදි මෙම කාර්යය සම්බන්ධයෙන් උනන්දුතාවයක් දක්වන සියලුම පාර්ශ්වයන් නියෝජනය වන පරිදි පූර්ණ බලතල සහිත ඉහළ මට්ටමේ කමිටුවක් පත් කිරීමට යෝජනා කරනවා. එසේම ඔබ නොදමන ලද පිගන් ගඩොල් සඳහා අගය එකතු කිරීමට හා රැකී රක්ෂා උත්පාදනය සඳහා බද්ධ ව්‍යාපාර කටයුතු ඇති කිරීමට ජොයින්ට් වෙන්චර් ඇති කිරීමට හැකියාව පිළිබඳ සොයා බැලීම දිරිමත් කරනවා. මෙරට දූපතක් වූවත් අපට අවශ්‍ය ලුණු ආනයනය කිරීමට සිදුවීම හාස්‍යයට කරුණක්. එවැනි වටපිටාවක් යටතේ වැඩි ආයෝජනයක් ලබා ගත හැකි වන පරිදි මෙම කර්මාන්තය රජය හා පුද්ගලික සහයෝගිතාවය ව්‍යාපාර සඳහා විවෘත කිරීමට මා යෝජනා කරනවා. සෞභාග්‍ය හා ස්මයිල් වැනි ශ්‍රී ලංකා මහ බැංකුවේ විසින් ක්‍රියාත්මක කරනු ලබන සියලු සහනදායි ණය සහ සුරකුම් යෝජනා ක්‍රම වෙනත් ණය යෝජනා ක්‍රම සමග ඒකාබද්ධ කිරීම සඳහා 2017 මාර්තු 31 වෙනි දින පෙර මහ භාණ්ඩාගාරයේ වෙත මාරු කරනු ලබනවා. කුඩා හා මධ්‍යම පරිමාණයේ ව්‍යාපාර ඉලක්ක කරගත් ණය යෝජනා ක්‍රම හඳුන්වා දීමට බලාපොරොත්තු වෙනවා. Investments. Honorable Speaker, investments are in the key and maintaining growth. In the last decade, investments were maintained at 30.1% of GDP. but the bulk of it came from the public sector. This resulted in the country carrying a debt burden of almost 76% of the GDP, which is higher than that of our peers. At the same time, private sector investments have been stagnant. However, given the fiscal constraint that the large debt burden has been imposed on us, I do not think that it is prudent to continue in the same vein and pile up more debt. The alternative is to facilitate more private sector investments and partnership between the private and the public sector. We must promote the investments in areas where the impact to economy is high due to value addition and employment creation. We will support domestic entrepreneurs, especially such as agriculture, manufacture, fisheries, ornamental fisheries, solar panel manufacturing, rolling stock, livestock and poultry tourism. To this end, we will be establishing the Agency for Development, which will enable the enhanced facilitation of the investment to Sri Lanka. However, should any decision on any potential investment take beyond 50 days, such potential investments and projects could be routed to the Minister of National Policy and Economic Affairs taking over the process. At the same time, Ministry of Development Strategies and International Trade will recommend to the General Treasury for approvals on any incentive that will be provided to landmark investments to the country. Our government is committed in pursuing an economic policy that will ensure the creation of wealth and equal distribution of incomes. Given the GDP per capita is the lowest in the northern, eastern and Uyghur provinces, it is incumbent upon us to make a concerted effort to correct this situation. As such, I propose to grant a 200% capital allowance for businesses which will make investment in the northern province and 100% capital allowances for businesses with investments in Uyghur and eastern provinces over $3 million, excluding land, and generate new employment opportunities for 250 or 3 to 5 year 50% tax holiday will be granted for such businesses, which will create 500 to 800 new employment opportunities respectively. Honourable Speaker, in pursuing high-impact investments, we are a government that will not hesitate to partner progressive thinking and calculate risk-taking. As such, any company, both domestic and foreign, with an investment between $5 million and $100 million, excluding the value of land, that is engaged in venture with more than 40% value addition and could generate employment for 500 employees, will be provided with a grant of 5% of investments at the end of the second year operation. If this is maintained for 5 years, the government will top up the investments by a further 5% on the original investment. We will also grant 100% capital allowances on all such businesses as well. For landmark investments of 100 million and up to 500 million, and the investments over 500 million and above, will change our landscape. We will design a special incentive package with a specific tax concession, which will be with the Minister of International Development and Strategic Development. In order to achieve the facility and the smooth operation of their business investments, I propose to issue a 5-year multi-entry visa for such investors and their skilled expatriate labour. To give an impetus to the construction industry, which has shown significant growth potential, I propose to remove the cess of 25%, which is applicable on prefabricated structures. Honourable Speaker, capital infusion by way of productivity-enhancing machinery and equipment has been quite erratic in our business, resulting in the productivity remaining as stagnant or deteriorating. As such, I improve the capacity of our businesses. I propose to grant a 75% waiver on the PEL when importing high-tech automated machinery and equipment with the approval of the Ministry of Industries and Commerce. To improve the management and the quality of the services, we will invite private sector to manage and add value to existing BUI free trade zones in improving its competitiveness. Having studied the experience of India and Indonesia, I propose to introduce an Investment Inflow Management Act in due course to facilitate the inward remittance of foreign exchange with the minimal restrictions. We also invite foreign companies to take advantage of the interest differential that prevails between Sri Lanka and other countries. We will ensure enabling framework to create an international trading platform for such trading will be facilitated. there will be no taxes at all for any of these companies that have that will be registered on this basis. Honourable Speaker, we must make better use of our strategic location in the Indian Ocean. Given political stability and upholding of law and order, there is significant potential to attract the relocate your headquarters of international organizations and businesses. I am proud to say that the Asian Cricket Council has already established the headquarters in Colombo to encourage international organizations and business to locate Sri Lanka. I propose to exempt them from corporate taxes. We will also allow apparel companies based in Sri Lanka to invest overseas, entities to involve in apparel design, manufacture up to 5% of their average export turnover of their preceding 3 years in any given year. Profits and income of such enterprises established overseas would be received by the investing company in Sri Lanka. A person resident in Sri Lanka who has made investments outside Sri Lanka through outward investment account and has received a capital gain on such investments will be permitted to reinvest through the same OIA up to 50% and the value of such capital gains received without being subject to limitation and a maximum value of investment that can be made by such persons outside Sri Lanka. Presently, any foreigner coming to Sri Lanka is required to declare foreign currency over US dollars 15,000. I propose to increase this limit to 40,000. Any company is permitted to borrow internationally on the strength of their balance sheet, provided they hedge the exchange risk. Any violation of these directions is subject to a fine of 50 million. I also propose to remove the restrictions imposed on such borrowing by non-banking financial institutions to increase their foreign liabilities beyond 35% of total assets in the balance sheet. The Sri Lanka Telecom, Indian Revenue Department, Urban Development Authority and Sri Lanka Ports Authority will invest around 10 billion in iconic buildings which will change the Colombo's urban skyline. It is also expected that these buildings will be a hub for investment and economic activities. I propose to allocate 500 million to the IRD and the UDA for this purpose. At this time, I would also like to make a note. In the morning in the cabinet meeting, the President and the Prime Minister directed there has been an anomaly in the Megapolis Ministry, and we will be allocating 7,500 million rupees from the Finance Ministry to Megapolis with immediate effect. Exports. Honourable Speaker, our export earnings have contracted mainly due to challenging global markets. Clearly, our exports, the products and the services need to diversify if it is to retain competitive edge. We must tap into the global value chain. Value addition, enhancing market access and innovation is the way forward. Our government has been proactive in facilitating trade by pursuing trade agreements with markets including Singapore, China, Japan, Korea, Bangladesh and growing markets in Africa. Similar to success we achieved in revoking the ban on fishing exports to EU, as it was mentioned a couple of weeks ago where our Prime Minister led the delegation to the European Union, and I'm confident that the discussions will ensure that we get the GSPs as soon as possible. Improving them, and this would help in a given year, almost $2 to $3 billion coming in on the 11% advantage that is there. This is what we lost out, and we, the government under President Maithripala Sirisena and Prime Minister Ranil Wickremesinghe, we have managed to regain it. Improving the macroeconomic fundamentals, especially maintaining stable exchange rate and a healthy reserve position, pivots mainly on strong export performance. However, with global outlook for trading remaining fairly sluggish, exports are faced with challenging environment. It is in this background that the government has decided to support the exporters. As such, there is an increase of 15% or more foreign currency earnings from a year of assessment, 2016-17, compared to 2015-16. The exporters will be granted a rebate of amount equal to 75% of the tax attributable to the excess earnings. The need for an Exim Bank is felt more than ever today. As such, we will commence operations of Exim Bank during 2017. The Exim Bank will have an initial capital of 25,000 million and will be a collaboration between the government and the industry. I propose to allocate 10,000 million as the government's initial contribution for this. To boost the exports of tourism, foreign direct investment and brand Sri Lanka, it is important that we undertake a strong, structured and a focused global marketing campaign. I propose to allocate Minister of National Policy and Economic Affairs 1,000 million to undertake this campaign. At the same time, we will also ensure participation at trade fairs on an annual basis, such as Canton Fair, Indian and the German fairs, which will facilitate the process to develop a business relationship and market access. I also recommend to the Export Development Board, Sri Lanka Tourism Promotion Bureau and Sri Lanka Tea Board, in collaboration with other promotional agencies and private sector, to organize an annually exhibition in Sri Lanka called Colombo Fair. And this will showcase for all Sri Lankan products and services, and the first of which will be held in October 2017. As such, I propose to allocate 50 million for this purpose. Honourable Speaker, I don't think we have fully realised the benefit of the expressways in our country. We must capitalise on the benefits of expressways, bringing the encouraged economic activity. As such, I propose to encourage the private sector to partner with the government, creating private free trade zones along the expressway corridors. The government will provide the land for this purpose, and we will provide electricity and water up to such zones. I propose to allocate 1,000 million for such a venture. At the same time, we also encourage establishing 4 free trade zones targeting industries such as rubber-based products, pharmaceuticals, fabric manufacturing, minerals, chemical and automotive industry in Kalutara district, in Ratnapura, Putlam and Vaunia district. To harness the benefits of specialization, we will establish 15 export villages on a PPP basis. We will focus mainly on the thrust industries such as IT, robotics, fashion, high-end apparel and boat manufacturing. Although we produce the best cinnamon in the world, almost 85% of cinnamon is exported in its raw form, and therefore I encourage the local producers and enhance the value addition export. Although the apparel and textile industry is a major exchange earner, almost 4,800 million in 2015, we imported fabrics to the tune of 2,296 million in 2015. Clearly, backward integration is vital. And as such, the context of textile cluster could be formed, which includes sizing, dyeing and finishing units by private sector. The government will support the venture by providing investment relief to the business, and that will invest in the venture and will also provide adequate space. This venture is estimated to save at least 2,000 million per annum. For this purpose, creating additional avenues for garment export, permission will be granted to import branded products by enterprises for reworking, operating under commercial hub regulations, such as garments, will be exported to countries where there is no preferential treatment. I also recommend allocating 50 million for Department of Commerce for trade promotional activities, especially SME products at international trading and promotional events. Honourable Speaker, since taking office, our government has been proactive in improving the performance of state-owned enterprises. And in fact, instead of becoming a drain on the government coffers, they have contributed 65 billion as levies and dividends so far in 2016, which is an increase of 50% over 2014. As stated by the Honourable Prime Minister, we will facilitate state-owned enterprises to become viable business entities. To that end, we will be ensuring that the state-owned enterprise will be able to have a cost-reflective pricing structures and operational autonomy in this background. Government will also enter into performance contracts with selected state-owned enterprises with regard to key performance indicators. I wish to report to the House that Sri Lankan Airlines and Mihin Air, which has been generating colossal losses, if I mention on Sri Lankan, the liability as of 31st March 2015 was 146 billion, and as of 2016, it was 151 billion. Are now being commercialized and international collaborations. In fact, we have now merged Mihin Air operations with Sri Lankan Airlines. As a part of restructuring of the state-owned enterprise in line with growing market trends, Sri Lanka State Trading Corporation established a mega showroom which will carry all household items and appliances, for which I propose allocate 100 million. We will also list non-strategic enterprises such as Hyatt, Grand Oriental Hotel, Water's Edge, West Coast, Mantai Salt, Hambantota Salt, Hilton during 2017. Broad-basing the ownership is expected that such listings will allow the government to raise at least 1,000 million to settle our existing uneconomical, questionable and high-cost debt that we inherited from the previous regime. We will also inform the Parliament of any other plan listing that may be undertaken during 2017. Including Mobitel will be made to go public listing, which is a request that has been made by the company itself. Maritime economy. Honourable Speaker, the contribution of maritime sector to GDP at around 2.5% is clear indication that we will have not adequately harnessed the country's strategic location in centre of Silk Route. Our main aim is to position Sri Lanka as a leading maritime hub in Asia. It is in that background that the government has decided to create the enabling environment for maritime economy to be a significant contributor to the country's economic growth. This requires a significant reform. I encourage the establishment of maritime authority with the participation of private sector and would be instrumental in creating a level playing field and credible regulatory mechanism. At this stage, encourage more vessels to obtain ancillary services such as ship supplies, bunkers, crew changes. I propose to have a free port anchorage for fee of 12 hours. As of now, almost 200-300 ships move out with not a single coming owing to excessive charges, so this is something to incentivize them. I also propose the bulk chartered cargo charges to be at 15% of freight on board or applied freight charges, whichever is lower, with the immediate effect. With the country becoming a tourist destination, cruise vessels' arrival has increased. As such, steps should be taken to allocate and develop a dedicated berth at Bandar Naik Kiu for cruise vessel handling, a logistical hub. Honourable Speaker, despite many deliberations on Sri Lanka being a commercial hub, the performance in that sector is not visible, where not many foreign or local investors have been able to attract to create a hyperactivity. We have had enough consultation with stakeholders such as hub operators, and it is now brought to our attention that if present issues are pragmatically not handled, the potential for improving export performance by the sector is in an exponential manner and is extremely high. The main issue highlighted were a lack of space for establishing new enterprises or expanding enterprises within the areas identified the purpose, restrictive investment regime and a lack of proper guidelines. Multi-country consolidation. Containers with zero domestic cargo will be considered transshipment container and relevant terminal handling costs will not be liable for any such containers. I also propose to liberalize the destuffing of MCC cargo. In this regard, I propose to facilitate the destuffing in all terminals where as well as operators who fall within logistics hub and regulation. Entrepot trading. At the same time, exports and imports related to entrepot trading will be allowed on no foreign exchange terms, on establishment that logistics handling charges have been paid. Science and technology innovation for development. I believe that it is important that we have adequately financed and support the science, technology and innovation space. If we are to realize our own development and policy goals, including being self-sufficient in food crops, food security, ensuring healthy population, tapping into the global value chain, attaining the sustainable development goals and creating a better public delivery system. Last year, an allocated $826 million. This year, we have already allocated $1,306 million to improve the STI spectrum. This, I am sure, eliminates the fear of unpredictability in funding that is normally associated with the government financing of STA ventures. Let me ensure you that our government is willing to partner the risk associated with the research and development. We are committed to creating an environment for STIs to thrive in the country. Last year, we introduced Innovation Accelerated Fund, and we propose a further $100 million this year. We will establish a Biotechnology Innovation Park and allocate $100 million. I propose $100 million to Centre of Advanced Electronic Designs for University of Moratuwa to support start-up companies in niche areas in electronic. I propose $250 million to Sri Lanka Institute of Nanotechnology as well. We have already initiated establishment of Centres of Excellence in Robotics, applications CERA, and I propose allocate $50 million to further strengthen this centre. We have also allocated $50 million for Centre for Excellence in Genomic Sciences. I also promote $150 million to expand the pharmaceutical labs and industrial technology. I understand that import and export of biological consumable sample equipment is faced with many issues at customs. The Ministry of Finance, Department of Customs and Telecommunication Regulatory Commission, in collaboration with relevant stakeholders, will implement a new scheme addressing these issues. We will also remove the custom duties applicable on all material to create prototypes. Honourable Speaker, product design engineering is a design product. By integrating existing technology components and modules using existing fabricating methods. This is not research and development. PDI allows manufacturer demand, and I believe we can manufacture such established technology and mechatronic products such as drones, etc. As such, to facilitate the industry, I propose to establish a fund with an initial capital of $5 billion, which will provide loans with guarantees to support entrepreneurs that will engage in PDE. For this purpose, I propose $500 million in year 2017. A vibrant startup culture in the country. To further support such startups, I propose to establish incubators in 5 districts in collaboration with Nanasalas, which will then expand to almost 25 districts by 2020 on a PPP basis. I allocate $100 million for this purpose. Tourism. Honourable Speaker, tourist arrivals into the country has increased by almost 15% in the first three years and ensure that the net earnings for tourism increases. It is in this context that the government has identified the key tourism corridors for Trincomalee to Pasikuda to Batiklo to Garugambe, Munragala, Ella Corridor, the Chilau Kalpitiya Zone, and the corridor for Dedua Lake to Akurala area. Further, Ella, Bandaravala, and Haputale will be identified as eco-tourism triangle. We will create the enabling environment by providing necessary infrastructure and regulatory framework. In fact, the eco-tourism triangle will have already initiated feasibility study on domestic airport in Badulla district, or simultaneously will also explore the possibility of exploring the process of linking Badulla district to Southern Expressway. Honourable Speaker, the tourist industry has growth sector with earnings exceeding 2,900 million in 2015. We believe that this will be a key growth sector in the medium term, with potential to major source of income in country and economic employment creator. Our strategy is to focus on supporting the private sector by providing a sound regulatory framework and the necessary infrastructure. Hotels which have been in operation for more than 10 years will be assisted to refurbish and upgrade their facilities online with modern requirements at a cost of almost $25 billion. The government will assist by providing an interest subsidy on such expenditure, for which I propose $500 million. As many are aware, anyone can reserve a hotel room, transport services online through Agoda, ANB, Booking.com, etc. Travel businessmen such as online travel agents have expanded their operation into this country without paying any applicable taxes or cess. As a result of my discussion with the Ministry of Tourism and the Hotel Trade, the government will provide a common technology platform for countries' lodging business, through which we can be assured of a uniform application of lodging. Furthermore, Honourable Speaker, we will introduce e-visas. The tourism industry, the ancillary areas will be developed. A common complaint will be that there's a lot of problems that are going on in tourism areas, so the brochures are being made that should be printed in all languages. Therefore, I urge relevant agents to take corrective action immediately and propose allocate $10 million for this purpose. Honourable Speaker, the MICE industry also has shown potential, and I encourage the creation of a convention centre, and we allocate $1,000 million for this purpose. I propose to allocate $100 million to establish a training centre in the Integrated Information Centre to showcase local handicrafts in the eastern coastal area with a huge potential for tourism. Given the immense potential of country for water sports, I propose to grant customs duty waivers on surfboards, quad bikes and leisure boats and jet skis. Director Merchant Shipping will issue regulations and guidelines to facilitate luxury yacht operations in Sri Lanka without any impediment. There is immense potential for medical tourism. And however this sector is not managed carefully, a strong regulatory monitoring mechanism with respect to maintaining quality is required. The government is closely monitoring the impact of minimum rate which is applicable within the city hotel, and 2018 minimum room rate regime will be terminated. However, if the pursuance of minimum rate has brought in the desired result, then such policy will be revisited to develop a long-term competitive pricing policy. Security is a key factor in ensuring tourism. Therefore, many tourist hotspots should be encouraged to have tourist police, better connectivity and improving mobility with advanced transport. We have multi-pronged approach to transport with megapolis plans addressed to large extent of transport issues in the Western province. At the same time, our strategy includes expressways connecting countries, modernized as well as regulated transport system. Let me note that since taking office, we have been battling reduced cost of expressways. I am now proud to announce that our tenacity has been rewarded. We have been able to reduce the cost by almost 22%, saving money that would otherwise have been wasted. What has been done before is the question. The Honourable Speaker, it is good governance at work, and I urge that the same mechanism be adopted to relevant line ministries and general treasury, reducing the cost of water projects and electricity housing as well. Central expressways, Ruanpura expressways, investment of almost 6 billion will be looked at in the next couple of months. We will commence work on many of the elevated expressways, etc., which is spelled out here. Honourable Speaker, the Railway and Sri Lanka Transport Board has been financed by government for decades, now at a cost of 25 billion per annum. Yet, the performance of the public transport system in the country is below par. As such, the economic cost of the country due to inefficiencies in our public transport system is enormous. As such, the Sri Lankan Railways and Sri Lankan Transport Board will have to adopt commercially viable business plans, making maximum idle assets will be put into use, so the entities will be self-financed from 2018. අපගේ මාර්ගවල අද වන විට මිලියන 1.3ක පමණ ත්‍රිරෝද රථ ධාවනය වෙනවා. වැඩියෙන්ම අනතුරු වලට ලක්වන ඒවයි. එම නිසා රියදුරන්ගේ සහ මගින් ආරක්ෂා කිරීම වැඩි කිරීම සඳහා ත්‍රිරෝද රථ වෙනුවට රෝද 4 විද්‍යුත් කාර් රථ හඳුන්වා දීම දිරිමත් කරනවා. කොළඹ දිස්ත්‍රික්කයේ තුලම නියම ව්‍යාපෘතියක් ලෙස රජය විසින් බැංකු මගින් ක්‍රියාත්මක කරන ණය යෝජනා ක්‍රම හඳුන්වා දීම ඔස්සේ විද්‍යුත් කාර් රත 1000ක් මිලදී ගැනීමට උපකරණ උපකාර කරනු ඇත. මෙහිදී රජය විසින් ඔවුන්ට වැය වෙන පොලී මුදලින් 50%ක් දරනු ලබන අතර 2017 වසරේ රුපියල් මිලියන් 200ක් වෙනුවෙන් වෙන් කිරීමට යෝජනා කරනවා. පාසල් ළමුන් ප්‍රවාහනය කරනු ලබන වෑන් රථ හිමියන්ට ආසන 32ක බස් රථවලට මාරු වීම දිරිගන්වනවා. මේ සඳහා 75ක පොලිස් සහනාධාරයක් ලබා දීමට රුපියල් මිලියන 150ක් වෙන් කිරීමට මම යෝජනා කරනවා. ගරු කථානායකතුමනි, ත්‍රිරෝද රථ ග්‍රාමීය හා නාගරික යන දේශය තුළ ඉතාම වැදගත් ප්‍රවාහන මාධ්‍යයක් බවට පත්ව තිබෙනවා. නියාමනය ක්‍රමවේදයක් දැනට තිබෙන අඩුපාඩුව නිසා මෙම කර්මාන්තය වර්ධනය අක්‍රමත් ලෙස සිදු වේ. මෙම තත්ත්වය පාසල් වෑන් රථ අංශයටද පොදුය. පැහැදිලිව ත්‍රිරෝද රථ ක්‍රියාකරුවන් හා පාසල් වෑන් රථ ක්‍රියාකරුවන් මෙම ක්ෂේත්‍රය සඳහා නියාමනය නන්ත්‍රයක් එම කර්මාන්තය දියුණුව සඳහා විශ්වාසන්තත්වය ප්‍රහාර කිරීම පිණිස නියාමනයක් කිරීමට ත්‍රිරෝද රථකරුවන්ගේ සහ පාසල් වෑන් රථකරුවන්ගේ එකගවනු ඇත. ඒ අනුව ත්‍රිරෝද රථ හා පාසල් වෑන් රථ නියාමනය කිරීමට අවශ්‍ය ක්‍රමවේදය හඳුන්වා දීමට යෝජනා කරනවා. මගින් සඳහා ඉහළ සේවයක් ලබා දීම සහ සම්පත් කාර්යක්ෂම භාවිතය අරුමනේ ශ්‍රී ලංකා ගමනාගමන මණ්ඩලයේ පෞද්ගලික බස් සමග ඒකබද්ධ කාලසටහනක් වැඩ කළ යුතුයි. මාර්ග සහ දුම්රිය ප්‍රවාහන ඉහළ සේවයක් ලබා දීම සඳහා ගෙවුම් කාඩ් ක්‍රමය හඳුන්වා දීමට යෝජනා කරමි. ආදම වර්ධනය සමග බස් රියදුරන් කොන්දස්තුරුන් සහ පිරිසිදු කරන්න වෙනුවෙන් විශ්‍රාම වැටුප් ක්‍රමයක් කරන ලෙස ප්‍රවාහනයේ හිමිකරුවන් ඉල්ලා සිටිමි. ගුවන් සේවා කර්මාන්තය. එසේම 2017 මාර්තු 31 වෙනිදින ප්‍රත නව අභ්‍යන්තර ගුවන් සේවන් ආරම්භ කිරීමට නියමිතයි. ඒකට රජයෙන් රුපියල් මිලියන 50ක් වෙන්කරන සූදානම් සිටී. මේක පුද්ගලික අංශයත් එක්ක සහභාගීත්වයෙන් කටයුතු කිරීම තමයි අප යෝජනා කරන්නේ. Waste management. The 46, the honourable speaker at present, 46% of 9.6 million people have access to pipe-borne water, and the coverage increased to 60% of the population, or 12.6 million by 2020. This will require additional water supply of almost 600,000 cubic meters per day. This will be quite challenging given the environmental issues, including erratic rain patterns, lack of groundwater, groundwater contamination, and the investment of at least 300 billion in the next 3 years. However, the government is committed ensuring that all citizens have access to clean water, given not only the commitment to attainment of sustainable development goals, but our commitment to uphold the human rights of all people. As such, we have already initiated almost 35 projects, which requires total investment of 428 billion. In addition, we further support the expedited access to safe drinking water and promote the design, build, own and operate concept. We expect investment of mechanism amounting to at least 150 billion to be raised through this basis. The significant potential for industrial development in Trincomalee district, the government is keen to expeditiously develop the required utilities such as water and electricity. As such, I propose 600 million to augment the Trincomalee water supply scheme. I also encourage the National Water Supply and Drainage Board, private sector, to explore the possibility of establishing desalination plant in Jaffna and Putlam on an initial basis, and we propose 250 million. Energy. The country's electricity generation capacity presently is 4,000 megawatt, with the expected growth in demand of electricity for increase in tourism, manufacturing of commercial agriculture. The generation of capacity of country will have to increase to at least 5,300. We are committed to ensuring an uninterrupted supply of electricity at least cost within the framework of sustainable environment. It is in this background that the government is looking to diversify its energy sources to include LNG and green energy sources as well. Over the years, investment in the electricity sector has been quite generation-centric. It is therefore important to ensure that adequate investments are made for transmission and distribution as well. Thus, we encourage the private sector to participate in providing transmission facilities within each province. We also propose that Ceylon Petroleum Corporation and Indian Oil Company develop the opportunities that are available in the Trincomalee Upper Oil Tank Farm, and also there are almost 5,200 telecommunication towers in the country. Each telecommunication service provider incurs a cost to install such. So as a result, we propose to form a company on a PPP basis where all their own telecommunication towers can come under one, where it will be a multi-use facility. Financial sector. Honourable Speaker, given the potential of the country becoming a financial hub, the government has already initiated necessary groundwork to establish a Colombo International Financial Centre. In addition, we have focused a central regulatory mechanism to ensure the growth and the stability of the sector in its background, and I propose the following. The present country does not have a dedicated authority to protect the interests of financial customers, promote fairness and transparency of consumer financial products and services. As such, it is proposed to establish a Consumer Financial Protection Authority, CFPA, and will be a capacity to protect the consumer. The existing legal provisions on prohibited schemes fall under Banking Act No. 30 of 1988. This act does not adequately empower the Central Bank of Sri Lanka in taking action against prohibited schemes such as pyramid scheme, and as such, the negative impact on prohibited such schemes have stability of the financial sector. I propose to introduce new statute to cover pyramid schemes with the enforcement provision which will enable Central Bank of Sri Lanka to be a better financial sector regulator. Honourable Speaker, the Debt Recovery Special Provision Act number 2 at present is applicable only to licensed commercial banks and a few licensed special banks. As such, to improve the debt recovery process at banks and financial institutions, I propose to introduce amendments expanding the applicability of Debt Recovery Provisions Act number 2 of 1990 and the license fees company. Honourable Speaker, the golden key depositors that have basically been suffering for almost 8-9 years got the first benefit of their success last year, and the balance would be almost 3,000 million will be allocated through this budget to get the balance of those golden key depositors. I also provide the setting up of an agency, financial asset management agency, to assist the falling finance companies and to strengthen their balances. As a result, I propose to allocate an initial capital of 10 million to the equity issue treasury bonds to the value of 10 billion with a tenure of 7 years. I propose to issue 200 licenses to money changers in bid to expand the sector owing to rapid tourist growth. Banking sectors are got to be looked at, and we basically look at increasing the minimum capital of licensed commercial banks to 20,000 million, 20 billion, licensed specialized bank to 7,500, and primary dealers to 1,500. We'll initiate amalgamate HDFC and state mortgage to create a housing bank, and I propose 7,500 million as the seed capital for this. Corporate Rural Bank and Divinagum Bank will also be amalgamated to create a strong rural sector micro-lending focused bank. Honourable Speaker, at present, single shareholder limit of banks is restricted to 10%, while the tenure of the Board of Directors is restricted to 9 years. We will revisit these policies in view of the proposed consolidation of banks. I also direct banks to ensure that at least 10% of their leading portfolio is for agriculture, 10% for SME, 10% for exports, 10% for tourism, 5% for youth, and 5% for women. I further direct the banks to lend at least 15% of deposits within the same area for businesses to be implemented. Insurance. At present, the Crop Insurance of Agriculture Aggregation Board covers only paddy. Therefore, we want to increase it to protect the other major commercial crops as well. I also propose to merge the Samudhi Insurance and Corporate Insurance Company. Pawning our rural communities particularly depends on pawning to tide over financial difficulties. However, pawn brokers have become who have not been regulated, and there is a necessity to regulate them. So I propose to increase the registration of 100,000 per unit per annum. We estimate to ensure revenue of 1,000 million. Capital markets. We want to develop the capital markets and ensure as a policy to introduce new Securities Exchange Act during the first quarter 2017, which will provide Securities Exchange Commission with enhanced capacity and greater flexibility in operation. We will introduce demutualization bill. We'll also implement the Securitization Act to improve outreach of treasury bond markets and to investors, especially to attract more stable and foreign investment to the bonds. And I propose the Euroclear facility to come in by year 2017. We'll also benchmark securities for treasury bonds for 2 years, 5 years, and 10 years. I also recommend the specialized fund manager companies and actuaries to professionally guide them, and the creation of real estate investment trust, and we'll introduce separate board for listing of SMEs with less stringent rules on the capital on the stock exchange for low-cost capital. I urge the Colombo Stock Exchange to list at least 25 companies in the CSE in the ensuing year.